Welcome, everyone.
Welcome back to another episode. I hope you guys are so excited because we are excited for today's episode.
What? You didn't do the bit. What are they listening to?
You are listening to Are We There Yet? With Ben, Nikki, and Salem, but you'll never hear about Salem.
Honestly, every time we do an episode and we say, and Salem, he's actually in a different room because, you know, otherwise he'll be walking around on our laptop and doing all kinds of
annoying
things.
He'll be squeaking his little toy like beep, 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 beep.
Anyway, today's episode is a really fun one. It's actually highly requested, which I never thought we'd be saying less than 10 episodes in. So it's really awesome to be getting tons of feedback from you guys. We really appreciate it. But this episode is the beginning of a series about going full-time.
It's actually the most requested thing. Like, people want to know about van life and they want to know about travel, but mostly people want to know about how to work for themselves because it's kind of hard sometimes and people don't know where to start. So we want to help you guys get started.
I think 2020 has been an interesting year for a lot of people where they've had more time at home and more time to consider what they do and don't like and maybe the things they love and hate about their current job. And I think a lot of people have been thinking about other options and what they could do from home that wouldn't require them doing a normal day job. So I think that's also why it's been really highly requested.
I'm so happy people are thinking outside the box and realizing they can do other things than the norm. It's great. It makes me happy.
Yeah, really excited. Now, just before we get started, I do want to throw in a little disclaimer. We are not experts. We're just sharing our personal experience and what worked for us. Now, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's just how we began working for ourselves and just telling you what we have done and maybe some advice that we have.
And also, it's just like some real genuine advice. We're not saying you're going to get rich. We're just trying to help you guys out and letting you know what we did.
We are also not rich. So
yeah, we are not rich.
We just want to explain to you how we went from transitioning, doing normal full-time work or part-time work or casual, whatever we were doing before, to doing what we're doing now. And we just want to share that with you because I think it's really important for us to be able to be open with you guys and explain how that all worked for us and how we got to it.
All right. So to get started, we want to talk about how we transitioned out of our previous work to full-time freelance. So for me, I was doing photography, blogging, Instagram, all that kind of stuff for like 6 years. I was developing my photography skills. And yeah, for 6 years, it took a long time and I never monetized anything over those 6 years. And it wasn't until the past year that I understood how to finally monetize. So actually, sometimes it takes a long time before you actually realize how to monetize. And 6 years is a long time to like continue to work at something. So persistence is key, definitely. But I was working in a restaurant as a waitress. I was working part-time there and part-time focusing on my business. The one thing that I suggest that you should do if you want to start getting into more freelance is giving more time to your business and giving less time to that job that you don't really like, because we only have a certain amount of time to give or energy to give every single day. And it has to be directed a little bit more towards what we want for our future selves.
Yeah, I think, and like Nikki and I came from a similar position. We were both working normal jobs before we decided to do this. And I think it's also just important to highlight, if you haven't listened to any of the previous episodes, Nikki and I have been taking photos for quite a long time. I think I've had a camera in my hand for pretty much like the last 10 years. And it was 9 years before I made it my job. And part of that was intentional and part of that was just because I didn't know how. But when Nikki and I met, we were both very interested in Instagram and we were active and present on Instagram and social media and taking photos. I had a blog. I basically never put any attention into it, but we were both doing stuff already on social media and we weren't quite sure how to make it a full-time thing. Nikki was working part-time as a waitress. I was actually working a full-time job managing social media for a relatively large company in the Canadian Rockies here. And so I think that that kind of gave me a lot of insight into how Nikki and I could do this. And I've had a bit of experience working in marketing and teams like that over the years. And I think that that's definitely played a pretty big role in how we've learned to do what we do. But yeah, Nikki's right. Being able to give yourself some more time to focus on the stuff you want to do is really important. Basically, I was working a full-time job. I was doing 40-ish hours a week. And then in my spare time in the afternoons or on my weekends, I was also trying to focus all of my energy into starting this business and trying to be able to make photography a reality and be able to work for myself. And it's really hard doing that in free time because you essentially end up working two full-time jobs and you almost end up with no free time at all. I was spending so much time trying to get my business started that I wasn't actually enjoying life, if that makes sense. I was working at my other job and then going home and just working on a job that didn't exist yet and trying to get myself ready for that. And to the point that Nikki said is that at some point you need to let go of something else to enable yourself the time to invest into that thing that you want to pursue.
And we all know that obviously it's going to be so easy if we could all just quit our jobs and focus 100% of our attention onto this new job that we want to create. But the problem is money. And that's kind of like our second point as well, is that you want to set yourself up so you have like 4 to 6 months of expenses covered. So I don't know how much money that is, maybe like 6 to 12 grand, who knows. But you want to have some money in the bank so that maybe one day you can say, I'm just going to quit my job so I can devote 100% of my attention onto my passion project. And I have 4 or 6 months to achieve some money or achieve some success in this job and start getting some money back. And that's exactly what I did last August or September. I had a bunch of savings and I was like, you know what? Let's go on this big trip and let's try to make this work. And because you've quit that job, you now have 100% of your time to figure out how to work, how to make this work. So we went on a big road trip that was 6 months, and I basically only had 3 months of living expenses to cover myself in savings. And I told myself, okay, well, I want a 6 month road trip. And I told myself, I'm going to have to work really hard to make the other 3 months worth of expenses. So it was basically like sink or swim. You either succeed or you fail. And it's not like you have this part-time job where you can work a little bit to survive. You're either going hard or you're failing. So I think for me, because I'm an all or nothing kind of a person, if you put me in a position where like the only option is to succeed, I will literally work so hard to make it work. And I did. And it was crazy. What I'm getting at is sometimes you should, maybe if you have the amount of savings that you need, just quit your job and put yourself in a position where you have to make that money. It's like a necessity. Then you might actually make it work because maybe that's the kick you needed.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point as well. Around the same time, like when we started this road trip, I'd actually just quit my full-time job. I suppose part of the reason that I was able to do that was because Nikki and I had just moved into one van. When we met, we had two vans. So that's double the expenses, double living costs, all that kind of stuff. And we combined pretty much our whole lives into one vehicle, which meant that everything got cheaper. It's the same as moving in with your partner into an apartment or a house or whatever, but we were doing it into a car. Our already somewhat low expenses now became halved, which meant that we had less money per month we had to make, which made it a little bit easier for us. And we'll get into that point in a little bit about minimizing your expenses, but that's kind of how we both transitioned into it, was that we did it together at the same time, knowing that we would have enough money for X amount of months in advance. And in a worst case scenario, we would just go somewhere else, like go home, and we would just get normal jobs.
But also, I think for Ben, the money-saving kick in the butt that he needed was that he sold his van and he got all the money for that. And that was like a decent chunk of money into his savings because he had the ability to sell his van and then live in mine. And then we split the expenses that we had in my van. That allowed him to be secure in the amount of money that he had.
Yeah, so it kind of like kickstarted that for me. I would have had to work for a few more months to be able to make that same amount of money again. So it just kind of sped up the process essentially.
So I definitely think having a decent amount of money, obviously money is the key to life sometimes, but having a decent amount of money where you feel comfortable and you can quit your job to go full time, that is the key. But let's say you don't have as much money as you want. You have half the amount of money. Well, maybe you can reduce your hours at your full-time job to part-time so that you can devote part-time or full-time hours to your passion.
Also, it doesn't have to be work that you're cutting back. If working for yourself and pursuing this kind of a lifestyle is something that's really, really important to you, there's so many other things you can cut back on as well that will also save you financially and also time-wise. So like if you're someone that always goes out having beers with your friends or going out clubbing or something like that, maybe that's something you could stop doing because that would give you a lot of free time that night and the next day when you're hungover, and you'll save a ton of money. And little things like that could go a long way towards setting yourself up. Or maybe you go to the movies all the time with your friends or something like that. Like that's also a couple of hours each time that you could be investing into yourself and your business. Now, I know it sounds a little bit boring, but if it's something that you're truly passionate about, you'll actually get happiness and enjoyment out of putting effort into growing this new business for yourself or setting yourself up. And you'll find that almost just as interesting, if not more, than the activity you were doing before. Hopefully that makes sense.
And also talking about cutting back, because that's what Ben's talking about. By obviously, this is an expense. It's like purchasing a van and creating a house inside of a van. Although it's an expense up front, it is helping you cut back, because when we were traveling, our expenses in the van, obviously plus or minus gas, depending on where you're going, like we were paying like $1,000 a month, all expenses out. And that was our expenses. And my apartment alone used to be $1,000, let alone my car payment, my insurance, my food, everything. And so $1,000 Canadian is all we were spending. So by cutting back on your expenses and by creating a van, maybe like this year you create that van and you turn into a minimalist. And then the next year, then you focus on working for yourself, because now you have this super cheap house. So cutting back on expenses is definitely a good way to do it as well.
100%. Now, I suppose like getting into how we started doing this, more of the nitty gritty stuff, Nikki and I, like I said, we've both been taking photos for quite a long time. We're at this point, we're like by no means pros. This is September last year, but like we had a good concept of photography. And from me working in marketing on and off for like 4.5, 5 years, I had a really good understanding of what businesses want from their end. So kind of combining that knowledge with our experience of photography and conversations we'd had with our friends and just some general learning and things like that, that's kind of what enabled us to figure out the key to enabling us to do what we want.
Yeah. And I do think like, because I did it for 6 years and I was just trying, and I think the key that I was missing was like, what do brands actually want and how can I provide them value? Because a lot of brands, they want either good quality content photos that they can reuse, or maybe they want access to your audience. Because like, for example, Ben has experience in understanding what brands want because he worked for one, then you understand how to attack this monstrosity of trying to get some work.
Yeah, like it's definitely by no means an easy task, that's for sure. And a year later, or a year and a bit later, we now know way more than we knew back then too. Like at the start, we were like, oh, sweet, I think we've got this. Like, I think we can figure this out. I think we got it. And now looking back now at some of the work that we've done or the way we went around just doing things, I look back and I'm like, wow, man, like if only I knew then what I knew now. Like that's also part of the process. Like, I always say to people, it's the same with photography or any other skill, and this is exactly the same. You just suck until you don't. That's literally the way it goes with everything. Like, practice is perfect. The longer you do something, the better you get, and that's it. So, for example, we'll talk a little bit about social media stuff as well as content creation, and that's just because it relies specifically to us. You do not need a following on Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is. You don't need a following to pursue photography full time.
Definitely not.
We have plenty of friends that make way more money than us who have absolutely no social following. And it's not about that. That is a route that you could take, but it's not something that you need to have. But anyway, we'll get into all of that soon. But when Nikki and I both were starting off, we were doing a lot of trade collaborations. And what I mean by that is, let's say we reached out to a company and we said, hey, company X, I love your product. This is cool. And that company says, hey, well, cool. Well, I could give that product to you and you could give me some photos in exchange for it. So essentially you're trading services for it. At this point, there's like no money changing hands. You're not being paid to shoot it, but you are trading your services for one of their products. And that's a really great way to start everything out. So yeah, if you ever hear anyone talking about trade collaborations or exchange collaborations, that's what that means. And that's how Nikki and I started out. And that's what we were doing for a long time before we quit our full-time jobs.
So that's actually a really good way to build your portfolio. I had a portfolio throughout the 6 years and I just wasn't really happy with the quality of the content last year when I was starting to build my website and everything. And I was like, I think I need to like revamp this up. So I told myself that I would do, let's say, 10 trade collaborations with various brands, like some shoes, some apparel, some like switch it up because you don't want like all just clothes. So I did it around 10 times. And then created a portfolio for myself that I could market to new companies, potential companies that I wanted to work with. And one thing Ben always says is never do something
for free more than once.
Yeah. So let's say I take some photos of shoes for a company. Then I can show company B, hey, I've taken photos of shoes for this company. Do you want to work together? Do you want to pay me, basically? But you shouldn't be doing it twice for free or three times for free, because you've proven your worth and your value based on the first set of images.
In saying that, though, if you shoot with the first company and you're not super stoked with the photos, like they're okay, then yeah, by all means, do another trade collaboration. Do it 2, 3, 4, 5, as many times as you think you need to be able to be fantastic at shooting that product. There's definitely nothing wrong with doing it more than one time. More so what I mean is, like, only shoot something really well once is probably the better way to say
yeah.
it. Because, like, when I started taking photos of products, they weren't the best product photos ever, right? So it's like you need to take photos of products for a little while until you understand how that should work. So I'm not saying go and take a photo of your brand new pair of shoes you just bought and now you're a professional and you can charge $15,000 for a photo of a new pair of Vans.
Get some experience, learn, understand lighting and editing and all that kind of stuff and like props to make the photo look really good. Yeah, obviously it's not going to be like your first set of photos that's perfect. It took me like 6 years to figure out my style of shooting and editing.
Now, like the reason we're talking about product photography is because primarily that's where our bread and butter, our money comes from. That's what Nikki and I do a lot of. We do products and like lifestyle product work. That's a lot of the work that we do amongst lots of other things as well. But that's kind of the most common type of photography we do for work. Now, there's no reason that that needs to be product photography for you. There's a million different ways to make money with photography. And also, like, I suppose this concept kind of applies mostly to other businesses and getting yourself set up as well. I suppose this one's going to be predominantly about setting yourself up to do photography full time.
Because this could also relate to like couples photography or wedding or elopement, because if this is the first time you've shot a couple's photo, it might not be the best one ever. So you could do a bunch of those for free.
Or if it's your first time shooting a wedding, then maybe do that one for free for like a family or a friend, or do it very cheaply or something like that, or just have your expenses covered and do that a couple of times until you really know what you're doing. Because I think there's a bit of a misconception that people are like, oh, I'm going to be a photographer, I'm going to make lots of money, I'm going to shoot weddings. And it's like, it is a pretty stressful thing to shoot. And also you can't just go in being like, I've never shot a wedding before, that will be $4,000, please. Because you're setting the expectations really high. And if your work doesn't deliver, you're going to have Bridezilla and they're going to come after you and they're going to kill you.
Wow, that was aggressive.
Well, like, you know, but what I mean is you can't be overcharging for something that you're not good at. It's like you getting paid $400 an hour to wait tables if you've never waited a table before.
Basically, what we're getting at is take lots of photos, edit lots of photos, and learn.
And also try a bunch of different things. Like, maybe you don't know what kind of photography you like. Like, for us, product photography is fantastic. We actually really enjoy it, and that's why I think it works well for us. But some people that we know hate product photography, but they love shooting weddings and events and things like that. So try shooting different stuff and figure out what you like. So maybe go try shooting products. Shoot some
toothpaste.
Yeah.
Make it look cool.
Shoot stuff at your house. Shoot an event. Shoot your friends with a camera. All kinds of different stuff.
It always sounds really funny when you're like, shoot everything. And you're like, wait, we're talking about camera.
Yeah, just to be super clear. So moving along from that, kind of have a couple of steps, which are just getting the groundwork ready. And we'll just like buzz through these kind of quickly to give you an idea of some of the stuff to get set up.
We are actually going to be doing a full episode on each of these sections because we want to get really into it and explain a little bit more than just being like, hey, you need a proper email address. Like, we want to talk about why, how to do it, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the first one. Proper email address. This is a really, really simple one. It's also very cheap. And this applies to literally any business you are starting for yourself. If my email address was beniscool@ymail.com.
Honestly, if it was even benwa@gmail.com, although that looks semi-professional, I actually don't think it looks good at all. Like, if it's a Gmail address, you want it to be like Ben's and mine is hello@benwa.com, hello@nikkibigger.com. I just think that looks so professional.
Yeah, the other options you could get is you could have like ben@war.com or... There's a ton of options out there. Like, there's millions.
Just don't make a Gmail or whatever. You make it your own.
Get one that's personalized. We'll go into that in another episode. But if you just Google custom email address, you'll find it. It's not hard. Another really big one is your email signature and your branding. This might not be something that occurs to everyone. You might just think putting thanks, Ben, at the bottom of your email. And yeah, that's great. But it's also really nice to show that you care about your business and your branding, and it gives you a really strong appearance when you're reaching out to someone to contact them, regardless of your industry.
For example, I feel like that's something that I did work on before, but I need to work on it again because my email signature branding and also my blog, they're not all the same branding, basically. My blog I made like 6 years ago. It should probably change. I'm making a new website. So I'm kind of in the middle of that exact thing where nothing's really aligning. It doesn't look like I have a specific brand. And that's been bothering me lately. So it's something that I really want to work on to make it look like very cohesive and professional.
To give you a better understanding of what we're talking about, at the very bottom of the email, you'll quite often see like email signatures. And mine will have my contact information, my social media handles, my portfolio link, and my name and my logo. And this stuff's pretty simple to put together. And also, all of my stuff, all of my branding and my theming is kind of around like a charcoal orange and white theme. That's what nearly all of my branding is. So even little things like any URLs or like clickable links that I put in emails, I make them orange. I like add them to my branding. And then you go to my website and everything is charcoal orange and white. And my Instagram is kind of a similar looking feel about it too. So it's just kind of adding a bit of a cohesive look throughout everything.
If you want a perfect example, this is like my opinion. Shout out Short Stash Garrett, you know what's up. Honestly, he is like the king of branding and I just can't
help. Mr. Garrett, the king.
I am like drooling over his stuff. Just look at his Instagram, Short Stash, and look at his website. It's just so on point branding and it's very cohesive and it looks really, really professional.
Yeah, big shout out to our homie Garrett. That man is an absolute legend and also just hands down one of the like nicest dudes that
we
know.
He's awesome.
So next step is your website. I know I just briefly touched on this a little bit about your portfolio and Instagram, but I also want to talk about making a website and making your Instagram look good. Now, regardless whether you have a following or not, you need to decide whether you want to have a portfolio on a website or whether you want to keep your portfolio on Instagram. Now, personally, my suggestion is make it on a website. It's a little bit more professional, but as you're starting out, you might not have a ton of money to invest into a website. You might not have the time to build a website or things like that. I wish this was sponsored by Squarespace, but
that'd
it is
awesome.
Not. Squarespace, if you're listening, holler at your boy. But I built my website on Wix. I actually think Nikki is using Squarespace for her new website.
I am actually, yep. I'm building it right now.
So either Wix or Squarespace, hit us up. We will promote you. No, but seriously though, there's a ton of ways out there you can build your own website, but if that's out of your budget for now and you just want to have a cheaper solution, Instagram is free. There is other portfolio websites that are also free. Basically, if you wanted to sell, if you're making like macrame or something like that, or macrame, as someone told me it was the other day. I don't know how you pronounce that, but I'm going to say macrame. If that's what you make, you could fill your Instagram with photos of your work and make it look like a professional portfolio. Or if you design shoes, only include really nice photos of shoes or something like that. Like use Instagram as your portfolio. Don't upload photos of you drinking with your friends on a Friday night at a club. Just make it as professional as you can. And it doesn't have to be your personal account. Like you can make a business account on Instagram.
And also make it all like cohesive edits. Make it look curated and beautiful. And that's definitely the key to Instagram, I think.
Yeah. We can make that a whole episode probably.
We definitely could.
How to make your grid lit AF.
We definitely will make that a whole episode.
I think it's a good one.
But yeah, the key here is I think you need somewhere to be able to show what you can do photo-wise. So website, portfolio, Instagram, whatever it is, whatever way that you want to do it, you just got to have a way to show yourself off.
Mm-hmm. I think a website is a little bit more professional. It's a great way to showcase your work. You can have different tabs for contact information, your about, your portfolio, what you do as a brand, all that kind of stuff. But if you don't have money to put into that at the start, Instagram is totally fine to just put that on. So that is my big suggestion there. Make a portfolio. The next thing we want to touch on is media kit and rate card. This is a little bit more advanced, so we're definitely going to go through this in more detail. But essentially, a media kit and a rate card is saying, hey, here's some examples of my work, and this is how much it costs. That doesn't have to be for photography or videography. It could be for anything. It could be a breakdown of your products or something like that as well, just to give people an idea. But we'll go into that in more detail in the future too.
Also, it's like analytics, demographics. So brand wants to know if a lot of your audience is from the States or where they're from. So it's
how
just,
old they are.
Yeah, it's just all this information.
What their interests are.
Maybe an example.
What they smell like.
No, they didn't say that. And it also explains a little bit about yourself. Like, you create it, so whatever you want to share with the brand, that's what you're going to share. But it's like a nice compact way to show yourself off and show them what you got. But yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode. And right now we're going to talk about three things that we would tell our past selves relating to all of this, of course.
Yeah, so if we were to zoom back in time a year, like I said at the start of this, some of the things that I wish we knew at the start that we know now, this is a couple of them. But first, I just need to have a little sip of my coffee here before it gets cold.
ASMR. Shout out to Chris Howe.
This coffee's very cold now.
All right. So the first thing is, it's really, really hard work, but it's worth it in the end. And if you dedicate a lot of time and effort, then you will see the fruits of your labor. We are wise, I promise.
This is a really good point because, you know, like at the start, it looks like everyone on Instagram or everyone who's doing photography full time, Instagram or not, it looks like it's easy. It's like, oh my God, you just take photos of that thing and then you get paid bank. Wow, I could do that. Anyone could do that. And it's definitely
not. You're right,
not
though.
Anyone can do it. 100%.
You just got to get some experience and know what you're doing.
And put in lots and lots and lots of work. Nothing comes easy in life. All the good things take lots of effort. Nothing good comes from comfort zone. So push yourself. Try really hard. Put in tons of effort. And if you are good at it and you enjoy it, you are going to succeed.
Also, if you become like us in the way that we're almost like addicted to the grind. I posted this on my stories the other day, but I don't know what it is. Like, let's say I'm bored. I'm just chilling on the couch. And then I, for some reason, just migrate to the computer. And now I'm checking my emails. Now I'm doing all this work. I don't know why, but I just enjoy the grind. I enjoy working. I love photography. So I think if you fall in love with your job, like some days it's hard to pull myself away from it. I'm like, oh, I have to go have fun today. Damn it, that sucks.
It's kind of odd as well. Like, I realized the other day that I was sort of having like a quarter life crisis in a sense, because photography used to be my hobby and now it's my job. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I realized that all of the things that I used to do for fun have kind of like disappeared a little bit. I know that sounds really depressing, but I really enjoy what I do and I love my job and I love working. And I love meeting people and making those connections. And I actually love creating content. But I realized that the stuff that I used to do for fun, which essentially was photography, I don't do anymore.
It's kind of funny.
That's a lie. Like, I still do photography for fun. But I mean, like, now it's also work.
He was on Google the other day. He was Googling, what do men do for hobbies?
Men's hobbies. And all of them, I'm not like depressed. I was just doing this for fun to like give me some ideas in case my brain like couldn't think of them. And a lot of them were about barbecuing and grilling.
Or like making beer. Or
whiskey tasting.
Or like cutting meat.
Knife collecting.
Yeah, it was like really, I don't know.
Like very stereotypical, big manly man stuff. And I was like, I just like want some other things to do. And it's like, you know, I used to play a lot of games, like I think a lot of guys and girls do, like a lot of gaming and stuff like that when you're a bit younger. And I definitely didn't want to be like just jumping back in and being like, oh, gaming is the only thing I do in my downtime now, because I don't want to be absorbed into a TV and disappear into another reality. But it's definitely fun doing every so often. We are wildly off topic here.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that actually. What we're really getting at with this point is that you got to work hard if you really want something. And like I said earlier, if you put yourself in a position where success is the only way, or else it's like not being able to eat, then maybe that's a kick in the butt you need to work hard.
Number two, don't be afraid to talk to people. So this one is all about reaching out to people, making connections, putting yourself out there, because you never know what kind of an opportunity might arise from that.
Ben is really, really good at that. We did a Myers-Briggs test. I am INFJ and Ben is ENFJ, and he is such an extrovert, like 80% extrovert, and I was 90% introvert. So it's kind of funny how that works, but he is so good at putting himself out there and talking, and I definitely like envy that, but holy crap, I'm an introvert.
I think it also comes from what I like to call only child syndrome, not having like siblings growing up, and I also lived a little bit out of town. I think I'm just like really accustomed to, I just love interactions with people. I'm one of those people that I get energy from hanging out with people. Or like I recharge if I'm feeling flat. I recharge by hanging out with my homies or, interacting or social events, whereas Nikki's the opposite. She needs a little bit of, she likes people, she likes interacting, but for her to recharge, she just needs some like quiet alone time. And I think that's definitely worked in my favor as we've done this job, because I'll happily like chat to people on the phone, or I'll chat with brands on the phone. Like, I love it. I love talking to brands and people becoming our friends. And I think that's a really crucial part of developing business relationships, is that you guys are friends at the end of it. It's not just a business transaction. I think that's a really awesome little tip for you, little bonus tip, yeah, inside number two.
Totally. And I think if someone can sense that all this is a business transaction, then like people know, and it's not a really nice feeling for either side to feel. So like having some nice, warm, friendly connections with people basically is going to help you.
Also in that, I suppose you could set yourself up with, I don't know, like quote unquote, a mentor or someone that you look up to or someone you reach out to. And this could be someone you find on Instagram.
This could be Ben, because he is taking reservations again, if you guys want.
Anyway, you could be reaching out to someone who is doing what you are wanting to be doing. And you could just find them on social media or something like that. Reach out to them and be like, hey, I absolutely love what you're doing. I'd love to learn from you and chat with you and figure out how to do that. And you could offer to just like buy them coffee or buy them lunch and go and meet with them and have a little conversation with them. I think the term picking your brain, like when people DM me and they're like, hey, I'd love to pick your brain about that, automatically it's like a bit of a cringe. I think like, you know, reach out to someone and just be honest. Be like, hey, look, this is my situation. I would absolutely love to do what you are doing. Is there any chance that you would be able to like help me out a little bit? I'd be happy to send you some money for your time, or I'd take you out for food, or we can get coffee and just chat. And I think it's really important to reach out to people and just ask for advice, because like I had friends that I asked questions to at the start, and I have friends who are asking me questions now. And it's really nice to be able to like help people out in that situation. And I think the only reason people will say no is if A, they're an asshole, or B, they are too busy.
But I do think that reaching out and offering money, not that money is the most amazing thing in life, but if you're offering money, it's showing that you value their time, because that person might get asked all the time if they can get their brain picked. And I mean, we don't really have that much time to devote to certain things if we're working really hard. So offering someone some money is showing that you value their time.
And also that, you know, this is kind of part of the reason we're starting the podcast too, because we do get a lot of these questions all the time, and it is hard for us to devote, let's say like even like 30 minutes in a day to like sit down and just chat with someone one-on-one. If we're doing that a ton of times throughout the week with different people, like our time will just like disappear. So part of the reason we're doing this podcast is essentially to answer some of those questions in a format that you guys can listen to whenever you want at your convenience.
And of course, we're going to leave them at like some good amount of times. So like 20 minutes to maybe 50 minutes, maybe an hour if we got lots to say. I don't know how long this one is so far, but we definitely want to keep them in like a good amount of time so you can listen to it.
An edible, audible portion.
Yeah, so you can listen on your way to work or something.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a very long answer for tip number two, but don't be afraid to talk to people, reach out, make some friends, and then build your little community.
Yeah, make friends in your photography community.
Or your shoe collecting community, or design community, or macrame, whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter. Reach out to people who are doing what you want to do and build a community amongst it. Because the only way that everyone succeeds is together. Like, honestly, that is the way to get better at what you're doing. Like, there might be stuff that I know that Nikki doesn't know, and there's stuff that Nikki knows that I don't know, and we can bounce off each other, and together we'll do better.
Also, one little like disclaimer or whatever I want to say is that I've reached out to a few people in the past and didn't get the best responses. So exactly what we're talking about. And that person's like, nah. Or they just like leave me on scene. And it's a little bit awkward, but you have to put yourself out there and not really give a crap about those crappy people, basically. Because some people don't care. They don't want to give you your time. But just know that there are some people out there like that. And then there are some really cool people out there that will give you their time. And they'll even answer your DMs, which I think is really important.
I always like to say it's a no unless you ask. Like, it's a definite no if you don't ask. So if you're asking out someone who you saw at the club, or maybe like you're out to a restaurant, you see someone, you think they're really cute, you go ask them out. And if they say no, you're in the exact same position you were in before you got out of your seat and went and asked them. It's the same with reaching out to your brand or someone else who's doing what you want to do. If you don't contact them, it's a no anyway, because you didn't ask. So if even if they deny you, you're in exactly the same position as you were at the start, so that you literally have nothing to lose.
All right, number three.
You are going to make a lot of mistakes and you're going to screw up, but it's okay. Don't see it as failure. It's all a learning experience. And if it doesn't work, try it a different way.
Ben has a really good example of this. I don't know if he wants to share it.
No, I'll share it. It actually goes back to what Nikki was talking about with the road trip when we started. So Nikki and I were both living in the one van. The van is exactly the same. We were both talking about van life on social media. And for context, Nikki was hitting up some brands and being like, hey, I'm traveling in the van. This is me. This is our van. This is what we're doing. I'd love to work together. And it worked really well for her. A lot of companies were like, hell yeah, girl. Yeah, crush it. You're doing good. I love that. That's amazing. And then I would hit up brands with almost identically the same pitch, different brands, obviously, with like no response. Or people would be, I kind of got the vibe that people were like, are you homeless? Like, what is wrong with you? It was a really weird thing to see that Nikki and I were both reaching out in a very similar way with kind of similar emails. And the way everything was set up was very similar. And it was really odd to see that it didn't work for me. And I got kind of discouraged by that because I was like, what the hell? Like, Nikki's crushing it right now and I suck. And, I got kind of a little bit like sad and depressed about it. And I was like really pissed at myself because I was like, what the hell? Like, maybe I can't do this or this isn't working for me. And it just took me a little while to try different methods of reaching out to people and setting up my brand differently and, you know, approaching companies and people differently to find the thing that worked really well for me. And now the way that I do it, I don't think it would work for Nikki. You know, you have to find your own thing. And it's okay to screw it up and get it wrong for a while. My learning experience was honestly like 4 or 5 months. We were traveling around. Nikki was getting all these jobs and I was like, what the hell? Like, I'm not earning any money. This is insane. And then boom, all of a sudden one day I figured out how to pitch myself and how to brand myself and how to do everything for me. And it works very well now.
But it's interesting that, let's just say, quote unquote, he had to like fail for, let's say, 4 months. And it took that long to realize, oh, hey, maybe the way I'm doing it isn't correct. So I think going forward, like from learning from that experience, if something's not working, even let's say a month, and you've been trying like lots of different companies, trying lots of different things, and it's not working for a month, I definitely think like
that's the
switch more often. Don't wait until it's 4 or 5 months and you're depressed.
No, 100%. I totally agree with that, and that's something I would tell my earlier self is, don't be so discouraged when something doesn't work. Just because it works for someone else doesn't mean it will work for you. And that is 100% okay. You just have to be okay with that and try something else a different way.
Something will work for you. It's not like you're this crappy person that nothing's going to work for. Something's going
to
work.
And also think that this isn't just to do with photography work or pitching or branding yourself. I realistically, we're getting a little bit deep here, but I think this also relates to just general life. If stuff is going well, you're happy, things are going in the right direction. Maybe you got that promotion at work and maybe you just met the man of your dreams, or you just bought a new pair of shoes that you've been looking at for 6 months and they're on sale and life is friggin' good. That means you're doing something right. Like, life is positive and you're going in the right direction.
You're in flow state.
You're in a flow state. But, you know, if that pair of shoes you've been looking at for 6 months just went up in price and your partner doesn't like you anymore, or maybe you are having issues at work, or something's happening and just like stuff's not going well.
Like over and over and over. It's a sign that you got to change your path.
Yeah. Like maybe you just need to like reroute yourself slightly and do something different. Maybe it's changing your routine or start doing something new or drop something. Or, you know, if you're not happy, change it. You are 100% in charge of your own destiny and in charge of your own happiness. And it's important to realize when things aren't going right and put yourself back on a different path and try something else, because the only way that we succeed is through failure, and it's the only way we learn.
And adapting and being fluid and moving along with whatever comes your way. If that job fires you, you just move. You're adaptable and you don't have attachments to anything. I think that is like a really, we're getting deep here, but that's a really big key, is just like go with the flow. And don't be attached to anything.
One thing I've definitely learned as I've gotten older, and like I'm by no means am I old now, like I'm 26 at the time we're recording this, but one thing I've definitely learned as I've gotten older is that there is good in every negative situation. It just takes time to figure out what it is.
There is so much good. I'm going to just quickly say this now. I did an ayahuasca session. I did three of them and it was insane, crazy, dark. But I honestly think you learn way more through your suffering than you do through like a positive experience. Because if you're put in like a scary suffering place, like you're going to learn. We can go into that in another episode, but holy crap.
Not saying everyone needs to go and do an ayahuasca ceremony by any means, but just pay more attention. And like, you know, maybe this is the first time you're hearing this as well. And now that you've heard that and you're receptive to it, keep an eye out for those situations in your day-to-day life. Like if something doesn't work, try something a different way.
You have choice. You can change.
It's not a big deal. And if you hate your job, figure out a way to change it. Like you're not stuck at that job you hate forever and ever. Like just do something else, even if it's temporary until you find the thing you really want to do.
Anyways, hopefully that inspired you guys because we went on a little tangent and I think words like that would really inspire me if I was feeling a little bit down on myself.
I wish I listened to this a year ago.
Oh, honestly.
Actually, though, like, I would have been like, wow, who's this dingus? But he's making some good points. But honestly, you know, like I said, reach out to people. Don't be afraid to chat to people. And you're going to suck until you don't. And it's going to be really hard. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're going to be super stoked with all the effort you put in and pushing through that grind.
Because those people that are succeeding in life, they didn't quit. And that is the key. So we want to do an entire podcast episode on a lot of these things that we're talking about.
And more.
Because we want to get into depth with a lot of different things about like email signature, branding, website portfolio, media kit, rate card, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, I don't know, everything.
I think going forward, a lot of the stuff we will talk about will be specific to commercial photography, content creation, videography, and setting yourself up for that.
Because that's what we do.
That's what our experience is in. And, you know, some of those things might relate to you if you are doing macrame. Who knows? But from now on, I think that that's kind of like we'll be talking specifically about that because that's what we have personal experience
in. I do think it does branch out to a lot of different things because like everyone needs a proper email address and a website and a portfolio. So I do think it's going to be touching on a lot of people's industries. So helpful to everyone.
That's it for today's episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Hopefully it's been useful to you. It's been positive reinforcement that you can do whatever you want to do. You go, girl. You got the power to do what you want. Make yourself happy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for listening today. If you want to check us out on Instagram, I'm at Nikki Bigger.
And I'm at Ben War. Everything is going to be in the description for this podcast episode. If you did enjoy this episode, we've been seeing quite a few of you guys sharing episodes on your stories, and we absolutely love it. So please keep it coming. Tag us on your story when you do a little screenshot of Spotify or whatever it is. We would love to reshare it. You could send it to your mom, your dad, your grandma. Play it for your dog when you go out.
Thanks so much, guys, and we'll see you in the next one.
Peace. Bye.